This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Physicians are now able to track their knee replacement patient's activity level and optimize their recovery through their patient's smartwatches. Dr. Jeffrey DeClaire, orthopedic knee specialist and founder of the Michigan Knee Institute out of Rochester Hills, Michigan, was one of the first physicians in the country to include his patients in this groundbreaking study using artificial intelligence to track a patient's progress and help them recover faster. Dr. DeClaire is a pioneer in robotic surgery for knee replacement patients, and his procedure using robotics combined with computer imaging has a 98% satisfaction rate. This is fantastic, and looking forward to hearing more details. And Dr. DeClaire, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I certainly know you stay awfully busy, so we really appreciate your time. So tell us, for starters, explain the groundbreaking program that you are doing where patients who have knee replacement are wearing smart watches and being monitored before and after knee replacement. That's pretty cool stuff right there.
Yeah, so this is a study that was launched, a collaboration between Zimmer Biomet and the Apple Corporation. Really with the concept to try to really enhance the follow-up care and also to look at different methods of measuring patient outcomes and looking at how patients are performing prior to surgery as well as after the surgery. And so the goal was to use what we call a remote patient monitoring method. So the study was launched. It was multi-center and it's grown. I was one of the first orthopedic surgeons in the country to be part of it. And it's ultimately going to be one of the largest studies. Our goal is to enlist 10,000 patients, and I think we're right around the 7,000 mark right now. But the whole concept was utilizing the technology of a cell phone, where an app is downloaded to that phone with the ability to utilize the Apple Watch to be able to track a variety of different metrics. The other part of this was the patient engagement and patient education. So it would start preoperatively. Patients would enroll in the study and who elected to. They would utilize the Apple Watch and their Apple phone, and an app would be downloaded to it. And this technology has all been, very, very thoroughly developed so that there's the HIPAA compliance privacy, which allows us to communicate with patients through text messaging, video, as well as photo, which is, again, all private and HIPAA compliant. It then allows them preoperatively to have educational modules on their iPhone, which go through a variety of different instructional things to get ready for their surgery, using the watch to alert them and help to keep them on track. It's then utilized postoperatively to follow different metrics, such as their step count, flights of stairs climbed, how many hours they're standing, the exercises that maybe they're supposed to do and whether they've completed it. So allows for that compliance sort of monitoring. It also allows for, we monitor heart rate. We can also monitor resting heart rate things that we refer to as patient reported outcomes that assesses how they're doing. And so now what this does for us, rather than doing a surgery and then seeing somebody in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, we have daily data coming from the patient that we can track so that we can interact with them on a regular basis, real time. And this is what we think can really add to, obviously, the patient experience, the ability to be connected to them on a regular basis. And also, obviously, the ability to hopefully, improve the quality of that care postoperatively so we can achieve the most optimum outcome.
Well, this is certainly one of those examples where technology is certainly making a big difference here. So this is awesome. Now, looking at, you're tracking and monitoring the patient in regards to knee replacement, what are you actually tracking? Get into some of the statistics and numbers there.
Yeah, so the most the biggest things we look at is we look at patients' step counts, you know, for that day. And so we're getting this data on a daily basis. What we're trying to look for are trends and how that improves. We also, we capture the data preoperatively so we can see how long it takes them to achieve the goals of getting to their preoperative status, and then obviously the goals that we want to meet. Like I said, stride length and their cadence and how fast they're walking. And then what we're able to do too, because this is a national study, there's data from all over the U.S. and we can sort of track and create sort of metrics or goals relative to other patients who are going through this similar process and can benchmark. Basically, that we now have data to say, gee, at 4 weeks, this is what we're seeing on average as far as step counts per day. But again, it all correlates to the, you know, the patient, the type of patient, and how they were preoperatively. So that's what's helping us as well. We can get this data preoperatively and basically be able to tailor, you know, this recovery and be very specific with the data when we're guiding and counseling patients relative to how their knee was prior to the surgical procedure.
Another question for you, Dr. DeClaire. I understand you were the first in Michigan to be involved in the study. Why did you start doing this?
So I was one of the first. There was approximately 12 sites in the U.S. that were first engaged, and I was the first in Michigan. We've added other sites as the study has evolved. And so my goal is, and it's the preoperative assessment and patient education is critical in informing patients not only of just the type of procedure, but all the things they need to do to prepare themselves, one from a medical side, but also just understanding the important steps that has to be taken in recovery and the steps to be taken in order to prevent the risks of surgery, and in particular, the biggest risk is infection that we get concerned about. So it's the ability to really connect with them prior to surgery. And then I think, even more importantly, is postoperatively. Postoperatively, traditional methods, we do a surgery, and then usually the first visit is in some practices, you'll see it's 6 weeks. In ours, it's roughly in 10 days to 2 weeks to evaluate them, and then at various intervals. But the time in between that, there's really no communication unless the patient has a question or concern or a problem. So my goal was with this, I saw the ability to be able to interact on a regular basis. Also, given the patient the ability, knowing, and this is where we've seen this with patient satisfaction and their side of it, is now they can at any time send a text, or if they're worried about their wound, they can send a photo, or they can interact with us on a daily basis, and we can see this in a real-time method on our computer. So it's maintaining that connection and really trying to deliver this sort of care really in a more personalized and consistent fashion.
Again, we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey DeClaire, orthopedic knee specialist and president and founder of the Michigan Knee Institute of Rochester Hills, Michigan, here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Orthopedic Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, how is the data collected from all the patients and what is it being used for? Get into that further, and there may be just a little overlap there, but just want to make sure I'm covering the bases here.
On one part, we look at the data really try to stay on top of that recovery pathway. And what we're able to do at various intervals to monitor where that patient is at. And now we have, like I said, we have sort of benchmarks at various intervals of the recovery and where we expect them to be. And if somebody's not meeting that, we can literally pick up the phone and say, hi, Mrs. Smith, we see that your step counts or your gait speed is altered. It's not really climbing. Are you doing okay? And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't get this input or feedback until they come to the office and have their visit. So that's really the key thing where this data is. The other part of it, though, when we talk about the data and tracking data, but it's, again, the modules of patient education and their exercise and rehabilitation program is all on their phone. And so the watch will alert them. It'll buzz and say, it's time for your exercise. And we actually track the times that they're doing it and how compliant they are, which also gives us another ability to correlate, you know, their rehabilitation and the things that they're doing to recover with their outcomes.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And thanks for clarifying and making us more aware of how you're using the data. What are the advantages of being involved in this study, and what do you hope to accomplish from participating in it?
Well, our initial goal is really to look at potentially this alternative method of patient care specific to joint replacement. Again, traditional methods, patients are required, or we send them to physical therapy, so they have to travel to the therapy place 2 to 3 times a week. The inability to really communicate has been a challenge in that setting, because if the patient we're not seeing for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, but they're going to therapy, it's really hard to know how well they're doing in therapy and sometimes what they're doing in therapy until we see them. We also feel that this, in many patients, and we have good data now that shows this method of recovery can be equally as successful as formal physical therapy. And so we think that helps in improving outcomes as well as improving the quality of care, and really providing an alternative method for patients who now, many times they can do their therapy at home. And that's what we're seeing, that this method of remote patient monitoring can create the same outcomes as traditional methods. But we also feel that it can help to reduce the cost of care as well.
And obviously, lowering the cost is a huge bonus right there. One added benefit is that patients are able to interact with their physician and or physician's clinical and research teams. Why is this important for the future of healthcare? Give us your perspective on that.
I think it's you're going to see more and more of this as you've heard, and as we all experience the pandemic. We were started on this study prior to it, but as the pandemic occurred, it made it very challenging to see patients, in the office or on a face-to-face kind of basis. And that's where you've heard about and now is evolving and will continue to evolve into this telemedicine, or be able to have office visits through Zoom type meetings. It won't fit for every situation or every patient. It depends on the clinical condition. But it is the ability to get feedback and information from your patient, really having an open access, a open pathway to their physician anytime they want through this ability to communicate in a very simple and easy manner. We've seen that approximately 80% of the patients, when they compared this to their other experience, were significantly improved. And it's the other part of it, the overall experience of going through this process of joint replacement. They don't feel like they're isolated or they're alone. Some patients feel fearful, or they don't want to bother the physician. They don't want to ask their questions, but this makes it very easy to send a text message and say, hey, I'm wondering about this. What do you think? And we can immediately, in real time, respond to them right away.
Well, Dr. DeClaire, we certainly do appreciate your joining us here today and for what you do on behalf of Michigan Knee Institute, and also being involved in this study and sharing some of the details on that as well. Before you go in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a final word, or anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
Sure, yes. The thing I'd like to add is, we started this study, and it was specific with the Apple phone and the watch. It's now evolved to, it can be used in pretty much every patient. So it's out there for the general population. Not everybody has an Apple phone, and not everybody has an Apple watch. So the watch is an additional kind of method, but just with a cell phone, and it can be any cell phone format, that the MyMobility can function with. And so so it's through there, through an app on the phone. It will do the, all the similar things that we've been doing in the study. And so it's really starting to expand all over the U.S.
Well, you just certainly answered one of my curiosities right there. What if one doesn't have a smartwatch? So that definitely answers that question. Good stuff. If listeners wanted to get more information accordingly and or your practice there in Rochester Hills, Michigan, where's the best place online to do so?
Best place would be at our website. There's a lot of information on there, and that's michiganknee.com.
And that certainly is simple enough, and we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast as well. Dr. DeClaire, all the best. Look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Jeffrey DeClaire, orthopedic knee specialist and founder of the Michigan Knee Institute in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And for further details, simply visit michiganknee.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.